In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I was checking my sermon files this week, and very often over the years, on the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, have I returned to a favorite theme of mine, and you would do well to make it a favorite theme of yours, as it is the favorite virtue, so to speak, of the Sacred Heart, I think. It's the virtue which made our saint, Gertrude the Great, to be so great, despite her faults. Confidence. I've often preached to you about that over the years. And then after that, every now and again, I preach to you about death, which is a salutary thought. You cannot escape it. And for us, it is the doorway to sanctity in heaven. And sometimes I've spoken to you about the fuel of sanctity, the food of immortality, the Blessed Sacrament, because often on this Sunday, over the years, it's been our 40 hours devotion. But today we're keeping All Saints Sunday in the presence of hundreds of saints on the altars, represented by their relics, a little parts of a saint, really, or something which has at least touched the saint, or something the saint has used or worn during life. It's a wonderful thought. And then we see right before us our little saints, representing so many of the beloved saints of the church here. So I thought I would preach to you today about what I preach to you about almost every day when there's a sermon, that is to say, the saints. Today, St. Paul says, be followers of me. What confidence he shows. He's still alive, and he considers himself to be a saint. Well, that's how St. Paul writes. This confuses Protestants sometimes. Serves them right for interpreting the Bible on their own. St. Paul writes as though every Christian were by that very fact a saint. So they are, potentially, because we become Christians by receiving sanctifying, that is to say, hear the word sanctifying, saint-making grace, the life of God in us. And if we live with that life, and if we breathe forth our last with that life in our souls, we will, after we are shined up a bit in purgatory, we will become saints for all eternity. We will, indeed we will. So St. Paul says with confidence, imitate those who are imitating me. Imitation is a great way to learn anything. Say you want to learn how to swim or speak French or build a house. In the old days, you would have gone to the library to look it up. Today, I suppose, most people would just check it out on the internet. And you can read all about those things, and you could learn all of the grammatical rules and all of the instructions for the right moves and swimming and the rest of it, but you know that the easiest and the quickest way to learn anything at all is just to watch those who do it well, or in the case of a language, to listen to those who are its native speakers, and then to imitate. And if you keep that up long enough, there's no limit to what you might be able to learn. In addition to that, we're often told imitation is the highest form of flattery. So St. Paul is indicating to us the best way to become a saint and the best way to honor the saints becomingly is by imitating them who walk the path of holiness. Now, why do we Catholics love so much our saints? Well, I think it's partly because they show us that it is doable, that it is possible. They not only do for us, St. Anthony, please help me to find my keys. Now, where did I put them? But they show us how to be like St. Anthony, so that someday we might hold the baby Jesus in our arms, as he does in his statue, as well as find the odd lost wallet or eyeglasses and the rest of it. The saints show us that it is possible. Every saint would be the first to admit, though, that he in his own life has fallen far short. Remember, it is our blessed Savior alone, Jesus Christ, who shines with that pure white light of sanctity. And the saints, they are the rainbow. And each individual saint is some hue of holiness, some shade of sanctity, which we can single out and try to imitate. The saints always saw it as their job to imitate Christ and to reflect his light. St. Clare, the great friend of St. Francis who founded the Poor Clares, she writes in her testament almost as St. Paul writes to us this morning, "The Lord has placed us as patterns and mirrors, not only for the faithful, but for those who live in the world." But the saints are aware, agonizingly so, of how they fall short. And their confidence in the light of inevitable death is tempered with a real humility. St. Brendan, the great Irish missionary monk and navigator, he wrote, "I fear the presence of the king, the sentence of the judge." Those were his last words. And the sweet little girl who saw the Virgin Mary at Lourdes, who died as a pious nun, her last words were, "Priez pour moi, pauvre pécheresse." Pray for me, a poor sinful woman. Even St. Francis of Assisi, who was, they say, the most Christ-like of all of the saints. "O Lord God of heaven and earth, I have committed such wrong against thee and so many sins that I am worthy to be damned by thee." That was the humility of the saints. But what is it? What is it that we mean when we say that word? We throw it around in church, don't we? The word a saint. A saint is someone whom we know for sure is in heaven because a saint is canonized. That is to say, placed upon an unchanging list, just as we have the canon of the Mass, the unchanging list of prayers for the valid consecration of the bread and wine at Holy Mass, so too we have an unchanging list of saints known throughout the centuries. Why does someone get declared a saint? Why, it is because of virtue, holiness to a heroic degree, which interests us. You might say that a virtuous life is a bit like Mount Everest. Somebody that manages to climb it, well, he must be an interesting character, worth admiring, if not actually imitating. What a difference, then, between the saints and the worldly heroes, the pagan gods of People magazine and of TV shows, and of Hollywood, and of all of the rest. They are like the pagan gods of old, and they are so different from our saints, so unworthy, so filthy. Why on earth do Christians give them the time of day, except maybe to say a prayer for their poor souls? A saint is raised up towards God. Not exactly like Joseph Cupertino, who was elevated in the earth as often as he prayed to the sky, or Philip Neri, who usually rose a little bit when he was offering Mass. But a saint is raised up by the church, up to the glory of the altars, we say. Because, like our Lord, they are lifted up towards heaven. And we look up at them. When we come to church, we see the saints there. We admire them, we imitate them, and we ask them to intercede for us. Last question today, How could I become a saint? Well, it's a bit like getting to Carnegie Hall. That is to say, it takes practice. But if you want to be a pianist, you know that you must first of all make up your mind that you will do so. And then you give yourself over to what is required. You make the decision, and then you firm up your determination. What is it that makes a saint different from anybody else? It's the purpose that he has in his life. What's the purpose of your life? For many people, if they were to be honest, they would have to say, it's pleasure. I'm working now so I can get drunk or get high or get some other kind of pleasure as soon as work is over. And for others, it would be prosperity, with the security and the respectability which comes with a house in Westchester and a mortgage and a couple of cars and all of the rest. And others, poor souls, probably would say, if they had a moment from their busy lives, I'm just trying to survive, me and my family. The saints had this as their purpose in life. They wanted to be saints. They were determined. Soon after he was baptized in the late 1930s, the great Catholic writer, Thomas Merton, was walking with a friend in New York City. This friend's name was Bob Lax, and he was a Jew. And this Jew asked the new Catholic, he said, well, what do you want to be, Tom, now that you're a Catholic? Oh, I don't know, Merton responded. Just a good Catholic. But he, the Jew, knew he had done some reading. And what he said stopped Merton in his tracks. What you should say, Tom, is that you want to be a saint. And he continued, all that is necessary to be a saint is to want to be one. Don't you believe God will make you what he created you to be if you will consent to let him do it? Tom, all you have to do is desire to be a saint. Now, this Jew eventually was baptized, and he became a Catholic. And whether or not he became a saint, I know not. And what about Merton? His desire for sanctity led him to the strictest monastery in the country, the Trappists in Kentucky at Gethsemane. And for years, I think all he wanted to do was to be a saint. But then they got the idea that he could be a writer. And a great writer. And then he got a desire to know and to investigate many things. And then sometimes he would want to leave his order and to live by himself as a hermit. And finally, by the mid-1950s, he wanted to be a trailblazer of psychology. And he brought in a Jewish female psychoanalyst to analyze all of his novices. And then after that, in the 60s, he wanted to be a pacifist. And after that, some kind of a Buddhist. And thus he died. Maybe, amidst so many desires which he pursued passionately, he forgot about that conversation with his Jewish friend in New York City. He forgot about wanting to be a saint. Have you ever forgotten? The saints don't. Boy of 15, Dominic Savio wrote, may God keep us in his grace and help us to become saints. A girl about the same age, maybe 17, Thérèse of Lisieux, she said, I've got to be a saint and I've got to find a short and an easy way, an elevator that will take me to heaven. She found that in her little way of the love of the Holy Child, Jesus, and later in life, the devotion to his passion, his holy face. The great soldier saint, Ignatius of Loyola, said, the saints with the same frame as I, why should I not do as they have done? This compelling desire for sanctity made them saints. However, determination alone never could make one single saint. Only God can make us holy. But unless we freely provide our cooperation, the rough material for holiness, as it were, we will never become saints. Now, what about you, my friend? It starts with determination, but it succeeds with imitation. Have you ever tried it? Are you determined today? The only tragedy in life, the French writer Léon Blois said, the one sadness is not to be a saint. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.